We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Well, there are certain signs that you're adulting. There are certain signs that you're getting old. And Kirsty and I were talking about this. You know, signs like, you know, when having a nap is an exciting prospect, you know you're getting old. When you learn that how expensive really nice rugs are, you know you're getting old. When you view any invitation to play sport as an invitation to just injure yourself, you're going to pull a hammy or a calf, you know you're getting old. When you kids roll your eyes because yet again you're asking them how to use an app, you know you're getting old. So there is getting old, getting on, adulting. It's the process, isn't it? Whether you're 25, whether you're 85. But I want to talk to you today about maturing. Maturing can come with getting old, adulting, but it's not necessarily the same. It's certainly not the same when it comes to what the Bible has to say about maturing. It's not the same in terms of how God calls his people, his church, here at Christ Central, to spiritually grow and mature. This type of maturity does not come with age. It's not equal to experience or knowledge. This type of maturity is what a 25-year-old can have and what an 85-year-old may not have. It's a spiritual hunger thing, a desire of the heart. It's a spiritual maturity of God, make me more mature. God, work in me and change me. I need to grow. That's what we're talking about. Now, maturity is the first of our blueprint for the church topics. We're doing three now. We're going to do two later on in the year. But, you know, if you've been around Christ Central for a while, as Luke was mentioning before, you would have heard of the five M's, our five passion areas here. And what we're going to do, and you've heard about them, but here we go again. But this is all about really just for recognizing that, you know, yeah, I need this, you need this, we need this. Here at Christ Central, we need to change and grow and not settle for where we are. You know, growing is easy, but maturing is hard. It's spiritual, and it's a pleasing thing to the Lord, and it's only what God can do in us. So look at this topic, as was read for us before by Kerry. We're looking at Colossians chapter 1, so it's worth opening that up. If you haven't yet so far, because we're going to work our way through it, let's get in and understand real maturity. First thing I want to say is the first step for growth is you need to be born. Born again in the first place. In other words, maturing as a disciple of Jesus is for those who in the first place have become a disciple of Jesus. And I just want to establish this very fundamental first order thing before we go any further. Now in Colossians, go to chapter 1 verse 13, which actually is the last little bit. We're going to go to the end of the section, and then we'll go back to the start and work our way through. But here we're being told what happens when you put your trust in Jesus, when you accept that Jesus died on the cross for you. And it says there, verse 13, have a look. For he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is what happens when you put your trust in Jesus. You move from one state to another. You get relocated. Your address changes. Before you're a disciple of Jesus, you're in the domain of darkness. That's where you live. That's not a good address. Because it's rejection of God. It's hostility towards God. And you can be sort of nice and sort of politely indifferent to God, but polite indifference is still utterly hostile to the God of glory and holiness who owned you, who made you. So you're shut out for him. You're shut out from him in spiritual, eternal darkness. That's not a good place to be. But then because of Jesus, his death in your place, if you accept what he's done, it's moving day. Boxes are packed. Truck has arrived. No, not really, but in a spiritual sense, God moves you to the kingdom of his son, Jesus. It's a much nicer address. Jesus is your king. He gives you eternal blessings. You live under his rulership. You're in his kingdom. This is where you want to be, I tell you. And as it says, verse 14, have a look there, we're redeemed. Redeemed is slavery language. Redemption is paying the price. It's Christ's own death in your place. So we're no longer slaves in the domain of darkness, but set free by God who loves us. So this is what happens. You move from one state to another. Now, you might remember your moving day, the day, maybe even the hour that you came and gave your life to Jesus. You know, one of the elders here at our church, David Williams, his story is for work. Well, he moved to another continent. He moved from Australia to Africa, and then in some far-flung place called Namibia, you know, he really moved, because there he discovered Jesus. He put his trust in Jesus, and God did a relocation. You know, David came to live under the lordship of Jesus in the kingdom of the Son who God loves. Or I actually met someone last night at a wedding, Gabe and Faith's wedding, if you know those guys. But I met someone last night who their testimony is they got to hear about Jesus for the very first time at RI here at this school. You know, right here at Eaton's Hill. They didn't even move anywhere. And yet the biggest movement of all took place in their life. Domain of darkness to the kingdom of the Son. But maybe your relocation day is you don't actually remember your relocation day. You're too young. What seemed to happen over a period of time, growing up with parents who love Jesus. And that's cool too. But God had you on this journey from one address to another. See, living on the north edge of Brisbane, you know your postcode, don't you? But there's another place you find yourself in because of your faith in Jesus. Domain of darkness to the kingdom of your King Jesus. Today's about maturity, but just first up, I just want to lay that down for you. To grow up as a child of the King, you first of all got to be a king. You got to be a child of the King. So trust in Jesus, and he gives new life to you. You move to that place where Jesus is your king. So let's now get into some detail of what maturity looks like for us here at Christ Central, who've come into this new place, this new address of belonging to Jesus, our king. Maturity comes, here's the next point, maturity comes because of the gospel. Now, I've just said we've come into this relationship with God because of the gospel, but I'm now saying we only mature through the gospel as well. Now, have a read with me of verse 4, and we'll read through to verse 6. But it says that, from verse 4, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you, in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. The sense here is that the gospel is bearing fruit. Yes, as people are getting saved, relocated out of the domain of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus, but the power of the gospel is having this ongoing fruitful growth impact. Notice the language, verse 6. The gospel, that's the message of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Can you see that? There's a sense here that the gospel of Jesus is not just your entryway to salvation, but the gospel is the ongoing way to grow and live out your salvation. I'll just apply this in a couple of ways. You know, in the past I've heard a comment like, you know, I want preaching that goes deeper. Okay, fair enough. But don't equate deeper preaching or teaching to moving away from the gracious, redeeming work of Jesus. Recently I heard in another church someone say that their sermons, you know, we don't need the gospel every Sunday. No, you need the gospel every Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, and every day that ends in Y. You know, imagine if art galleries shut down because, well, people have seen the artwork of the masters, people know what it's like, well, what's left to admire? Now, imagine if, you know, music platforms on your phone, they made the change so that, you know, you get to play the song once and you never get to play it again because what's the point? You've already just listened to it, you know, just move on. No. See, the gospel, this wonderful, amazing news of Jesus, his gracious work to save you, a sinner like you. You know, this deep and wonderful eternal truth, the God of the universe loves you, that God's rescued you, redeemed you, set you free. You will not now grow and keep going on and growing by knowing law. You will not keep on growing by just having right theology. And I don't mean to diss those things. They have their place. But we're talking about maturity. Not being puffed up and knowing stuff. We're talking about growing in Christ. It happens as you deepen and grow in the knowledge of this amazing grace in Jesus. We're talking about the blueprint for the church. Our church. And so you'll always hear us teach and preach the gospel. The gospel is for not yet Christians. The gospel is for new Christians. The gospel is for been a while Christians. You know, as we grasp just this wonderful, eternally deep and wonderful work of God in Jesus, well, that's how we're going to mature. For growth, you need to be born. Maturity happens through the gospel. Here's the next point. Maturity is God's work. And in your Bible, I want to point out where we notice that it's God's work. And built into it is this very clear word of application for us. Have a look at verse 9, where the Apostle Paul writes there, "For this reason, since the day we've heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through a wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." Or have a look at down. Just go down to verse 11. "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." I'll stop there, yeah. Now, so in verse 9, who does the filling of the knowledge of God's will? God. At the end of verse 9, who gives wisdom and understanding? The Spirit of God. Verse 11, whose power and might gives us endurance and patience? God. And because it's all God, the built-in application, as it says, verse 9, is so we ask God to do what only He can do. We pray to Him. We ask for Him to mature us and grow us. Because maturity is God's work, we pray to Him that He would do that work in us. You know, growth groups, they start in 2 weeks' time. Do you notice at the end of each Bible study, growth group time together, we pray? But it's not because there's some silly recipe rule that the order of a growth group night needs to be, you know, chips and dip, Bible, prayer. Like that's just some set order that you just sort of, it's been laid down, it's a rule somewhere, you've got to do that. No, we pray, because what would be the point of just toddling off into our car and driving home after we studied God's word, unless we actually ask God to actually apply His word and change us as we've got into His word? That's why we pray. You know, you think about all the ways you need to mature. You think of the people in your life close to you who you know need to grow in certain ways. And in various ways, I think, you know, if you can think about your life right now or your friends right now, you can think about our modes of behavior and thinking, and we can think, you know, maybe we're just a little bit stuck right now. Our friend is a little bit stuck right now in whatever they're struggling with. You know, if you're feeling a bit helpless about what you can do, well, it's a pretty common feeling, but what you can do is pray. And sadly, it's so easy for us to forget to pray, isn't it? But we ask God to do this thing by His glorious might and power, to do this work, to fill us with the knowledge of His will and strengthen us in His power. Real maturity is always God's work. So what can we do? We pray. We ask Him to do that very thing in us and in others. So now we get to the next thing. Maturity is growing in the knowledge of God. Again, it's there in verse 9. I'll just read the second sentence of verse 9 where it says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. We'll have a look at the end of verse 10. Yeah, growing in the knowledge of God. You know, in terms of this talk today, the blueprint for the church, talking about maturity, maybe these are the verses we'd expect to hear about maturity. You know, maturity is knowledge. You know, maturity, you know, godliness, you know, Christian maturity is about how we grow in the knowledge of the Bible, the Word. And what we've got to say here at Christ Central, we're a Bible church. We're big on the Bible, knowing the Bible. You know, we did have that crosstalk last week about the history of the Bible. You know, in growth groups, we encourage everyone to bring their Bible. Most Sunday mornings, our general approach is to work through books of the Bible. Right now, I actually want to put an ad to you for all the men and women of Christ Central. There's a Bible teaching opportunity coming up. It's the men's conference on a Saturday in March. Men from all around Brisbane will be there. The theme is to be like Christ. And dads, you know, you get to go away that Saturday. Well, the following Saturday, it's your turn to do some kid minding. Because we have our own teaching day for the ladies, our annual Women in the Word. Worth marking those in your diary. But, you know, all this teaching, Bible, unapologetically so. But it's not so that we know more of the words on the page, that you know correct theology, that you might know where some churches have got it wrong in their theology. Bully for you. It doesn't actually matter. If you're not filled with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding, you know, knowing and grasping and cherishing the good and wonderful things of God, that's what we need. So we need to pray. We need to pray that God would give us this understanding. You know, maturity is not knowledge for knowledge's sake. For further proof of this, actually go to verse 10. Read verse 10 again where it says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. You know, Bible study, preaching, conferences is not about how much you know. It's about how you respond to what you know. Bearing fruit in every good work. Look, real Christian maturity is hard, isn't it? And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you'll know there is a, I guess there's the surface stuff that we can present on a Sunday. But then there's the really hard stuff. You know, wrapped up with your own tendencies and habits and struggles. I just want to say that's the fruit that God wants to keep just growing in our life, that real maturity and to grow us. You know, I'll give you some examples of some deeper heart stuff where we struggle with. You know, what resentment do you hold towards someone? What's that sort of bitter root that's sort of taken hold in your heart? Or what tendencies do you have to say yes when people keep asking you because you're just, you just want to please people? Or what tendencies do you have to say no when people ask for help because you're just super protective of your own comfort? What's it like to forgive someone who's hurt you? What are the fears and worries that just churn you up, you know, and just make life just pretty hard and debilitating? You know, deep maturity is hard. Bearing this real lasting fruit. You know, I'll say this to every single person here. You are not yet mature. In other words, you're not yet like Jesus. And I'm not yet mature. I'm not yet like Jesus. And there's no shortcut through to bear fruit. It's the word of the gospel. It's prayer. It's the Spirit doing a deep work in us. That God would fill us with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. In our Blueprint for the Church series today, we're talking about maturity, how much we need to mature and what maturity looks like. Here's the last thing. Maturity is having strength to endure. And have a look at verse 11. As you read through it with me, just notice the words like strength, power, might, endurance. Have a look from verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. You know, when you're a mature Christian, you're not wimpy. You're not weak. I'm not talking about the size of your muscles, how many squats you can do. It's the spiritual strength that God gives us. So how does this play out in the Christian life? Well, we can talk about the type of maturity and endurance of Christian faith in the face of persecution. And Paul is actually writing this letter while he's in jail. So he knows what it means to endure. And I doubt that, I guess, any of us will probably be thrown into jail for being Christian. But in our relationship with Jesus, we're called to endure despite what people think of us and how they treat us, and maybe they'll even hate us. So there is endurance in the face of persecution. But the thing I want us to focus on as we think about endurance and patience is just the general sense. You know, the grinding it out over the long term, the long game of just living as a Christian. We all need to be strengthened with God's power to just keep going. You know, I know mature 20-year-old Christians. We want that here at Christ Central. But I got to say, there's something beautiful about the work of God when I meet someone who's a mature 80-year-old Christian. Because that person knows stuff, has been through stuff. You know, grief and loss and faced disappointment and frustration in church. You know, when you're an 80-year-old persevering along Christian, maybe you face the loss of a spouse or the spiritual loss of a child who's walked away from faith. You've graciously, you know, had to face the reality of your body and its aches and pains and struggles. That's tough. But I think it's a beautiful thing. It's a mark of God strengthening His people in His power that, you know, say an older Christian man and woman, they've been married for 50 years. You know, they've kept coming to church, who've had the grace to forgive those who hurt them, who stay prayerful, who keep on supporting overseas missionaries, who keep an interest in ministry, in kids ministry, in youth ministry, and pray for that. You know, I meet people like that and I think I want to be like them when I grow up. But it's not in their strength. It's God's glorious might giving them endurance and patience to keep on going. Well, it's just tough, isn't it? It's tough. We know it's tough. But God gives us the strength to keep on going, worshiping, serving, loving, growing in the gospel. That's maturity. Praise God for his strength and power that he gives us. So here at Christ Central, we want to grow and mature. We actually would like to, all of us, make progress that by the end of even this year, we've made a little bit of progress. But really it's so that in 10 years' time, we've made a little progress. That in 40 years' time, we've made a little progress. You know, as we talk around here, as lifelong disciples of Jesus. Now, in Colossians, there's a verse that's really recognized as a summary verse for all of this letter. It's not in our passage we focused on, but gee, it's helpful today as we think about maturity. It's this one. We'll put this one on the screen. Colossians 1 verse 28, where it says this: he is the one we proclaim, this is Jesus, this is the gospel, this is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. You know, it's the verse with the word mature in it. Now, in terms of being a mature Christian, I don't think I've ever met a mature Christian who doesn't know his or her Bible. I've never met a mature Christian who doesn't treasure the word. They're Bible people. As it says, teaching. You know, teaching's involved in maturity. Proclaiming, admonishing, teaching. So let's pick up our Bibles. Let's read them. Let's study them. By the way, we've got a new Bible reading plan. If you want a personal Bible reading plan, it's up on the Connect desk if you want one of them. The year is still only young. So grab a copy of that. But when I think of mature Christians that I have the privilege to have in my life, my church, they're not mature though because they know stuff. They mature because of how they've responded to what they know. So they're gracious and gentle and generous and prayerful and worshipful. They keep going and endure. That is the maturity of the changed heart, the change that God brings in us. It's the work of the Spirit to change us, that over the long term we live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Here at Christ Central, may we mature together. Let's pray. I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Dear Father, we pray that by your might and strength, that you would fill us and change us, that we would grasp the wonder of your grace to us in Jesus, that would be filled with the knowledge of the gospel, and Father, you would give us the strength and the power to endure, that you would change us so that we'd live a life worthy of you, bearing fruit in every good work. Help us here at Christ Central to be genuine, real Bible people who go to your word, who are thirsty for your truth, who want more of what Jesus has done and who he is, the centrality of him as our King. But Father, we pray that we would actually, that word and that truth would change us. We would respond to it in the strength that your Spirit gives us. That would mature and grow. Do that gracious work in us, we pray. Amen.